If, scratch that, how long Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden before they eat of the fruit, I don't know. I know they were there a while. It may have been a year. It may have been a day. It may have been years. I don't know. But know this. I know that they never ate the fruit just because of the fruit itself. God had told them not to eat the fruit, and they did not eat the fruit until somebody told them to eat the fruit. Error cannot stand on its own. Error must be peddled. Error cannot sell itself. It must be adorned. Liquor, unadorned, unpeddled, unused by somebody else, would never sell a bottle. Never would. It takes liquor plus a salesman. Dope by itself would never sell. How's it come? A box? How's it come, Brother Ray? Graham? it wouldn't sell. See, error can't sell itself. Has to have a salesman. And so in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve did not partake of the fruit. Nothing about the fruit made them want it. They had plenty of fruit. They had nine other trees. Why mess with the one that was God's? And they did not until a peddler came and someone led them to evil. The Apostle Paul had gone on a missionary journey with Barnabas and John Mark. John Mark had turned back in the midst of the journey to a place called Pamphylia because of homesickness or fear. They went on up through Pamphylia and on up to a place called Derbe and a place called Iconium, a place called Antioch in Pisidia, on to a place called Lystra. That's where the Apostle Paul won young Timothy to Christ, and that's where he was stoned outside the city and left for dead, and God brought him back from the dead. That's where he was caught up in the third heaven, I'm sure. And then he retraced his journey, going back to the churches where he had started in Lystra, Antioch in Pisidia, Derbe, Iconium, on down to Pamphylia, then back home to the home church in Antioch, the church that had sent Barnabas and Saul, in those days Barnabas and Saul, they came back, Paul and Barnabas, but they reported about the work, and then they went on the second missionary journey. They traced the steps of the first one. They went to Cyprus, on up to Pamphylia, and if you know the Bible maps, you can see it now. If you don't, it doesn't make a difference. Up to Pamphylia, on up to Iconium and Derbe, Antioch and Pisidia, on over to Lystra. But then they turned northward, went up to an area called Galatia. And there they found many Jewish people who had migrated up to what was called Galatia. They started some churches there and had a lot of converts. And they had a wonderful, wonderful beginning. They turned from their old Judaistic, legalistic tendencies. They quit observing their seasons, holy days and holy seasons. They quit observing the sacrifices, realizing that our Lord Jesus was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament sacrifices. They left their legalism and came to the liberty that we know here in First Baptist Church tonight. Word began to leak back to the apostle as he left and continued his journeys, that those people there in Galatia who were saved and started churches, they'd gone back to observing their seasons. They'd gone back to their legalistic tendencies. Now, I want to make this very plain. Legalism is not standards. And legalism is not rules about right and wrong. There's nothing that's hurting fundamentalism anymore in this age than some of our pussyfooting preachers who are cutting the standards back. And they say, no standards. They say, anybody that believes that women ought to dress like women, they're legalists. No, they're not. They're separatists. They're separatists, what they are. They're legalists. Anybody that believes in men getting haircuts, they're legalists. Legalism is a term used by the pussyfooters and compromisers for those that practice what they used to practice before they got scared to practice what they used to practice, and now they're practicing like the liberals are practicing, and you mark it down, you keep on practicing wrong, you believe wrong after a while. So, then going back to real legalism, that's adding something to the gospel. A salvation by grace, by faith, plus baptism is legalism. Salvation by faith plus the Lord's Supper is legalism. Salvation by faith plus good works is legalism. Salvation by faith plus joining the church is legalism. Anything that adds to salvation by grace through faith is legal. Now, these folks had been saved and had been preaching the gospel of the grace of God. Then they had lapsed back into their old legalistic tendencies of Judaism. And the apostle writes the book of Galatians to all these Galatian people and Galatian churches. And he tells them, he said, you're fallen from grace. Didn't mean they're fallen from salvation. You're fallen from preaching grace. You preach grace, now you don't preach grace. You've fallen back to preaching law. He said, you're fallen from grace. And then he goes on to say, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not, notice now, obey the truth? He didn't say, who did hinder you that you did not believe the truth? See, the devil knows if he can get you to stop obeying, he'll get you to stop believing later. And so he said, who did hinder you? And he said, you did run well. You did well. But he said, who did hinder you? Ladies and gentlemen, every time a person backslides, it's not that something caused him to backslide. It's that somebody caused him to backslide. Didn't say what did hinder you. It said who did hinder you. It's always the case. Criticism did not stop your running. Critics stopped your running. False teaching did not stop your running. False teachers stopped your running. Sin did not stop your running. Sinners stopped your running. Smoking did not stop your running. Smokers stopped your running. Fornication did not stop your running. Fornicators stopped your running. Theft did not stop your running. Thieves stopped your running. Gossip did not stop your running. Gossipers stopped your running. Doubt did not stop your running. Doubters stopped your running. Compromise did not stop your running. Compromisers stopped your running. Liberalism did not stop your running. Liberals stopped your running. Cheating did not stop your running. Cheaters stopped your running. And everybody who ever... Now, these folks were running. They were on the ball. They were moving forward. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. They were running. But they stopped running. And the Apostle Paul didn't know why. He didn't know the reason. He wrote back and said, who did it? He didn't say, what did it? He said, who? He did not know who did it, but he knew it was a who. He did not know the circumstances surrounding their backsliding, but he knew that whatever the circumstances were, that somebody is what caused it. Listen, you run with the wrong crowd, and you'll be the wrong crowd. Now, you just mark it down. I do not know of a single student in Hiles Anderson College or Hammond Baptist School System who has gone down the drain. I do not know a single one who's gotten in trouble. I don't know a single one who's been dismissed from college or high school. I don't know a single one been dismissed from junior high school or grade school. I don't know of a one. But what is the same old story? He got in the wrong crowd. She got in the wrong crowd. And who in the world happened to him? It wasn't the what that caused him to get in trouble. It was the who had the what, and the who had the what brought the what to you, and you took the what from the who. But brother, you take the who out of the what, and you won't like the what. Nothing any more distasteful than sin without the who. Every person who quits running was tampered with. As I said a while ago, error cannot stand on its own. It must be peddled. Error cannot set itself. It must be adorned. Profanity would not set itself. Profane people sell profanity. Liquor could not set itself. Liquor drinkers set it. They put them on the television screen and put them in nice clothes and call them people of distinguishment when they're people of extinguishment. And they put them on the screen and they use liquor drinkers to sell liquor. Liquor wouldn't set itself. Dope wouldn't set itself. Cursing wouldn't set itself. It is dope, people that take the dope, people that smoke the dope, people that drink the liquor, people that use profanity, they set it. And brother, the devil knows that because listen, you just wait. You just give the devil a few days and he'll have those Olympic champions out there peddling his wares. I mean, the devil's making them famous. And I want to just say this. Nobody ought to be more so famous because they can do some flip-flops in the air and land on their feet. That shows the decadence of our country. I mean, I know missionaries tonight who are going without and living in little mud huts to get the gospel out. Nobody knows who they are. Little old gal out there can flip-flop. We're half naked, can flip-flop, and the whole nation flip-flop because she flip-flops. I happen to be an American. I like to see America win anything. I wish Russia was here so we could lick her too. But I will say this. The devil makes heroes and heroines out of silly stuff. Man, here's a guy jumps 7 feet, 8 inches. He's a hero. Why, listen, I've done that. I had a paper out one time in Texas, and a bulldog got after me. That's what you call potential energy, not the kinetic energy, potential energy. I've jumped a lot higher than 7'8". A lot higher. Now you listen to me. The devil, tonight in America, is grooming peddlers by making them famous. And he's grooming peddlers of filth because filth cannot set itself. Listen to this carefully. It's worth hearing. When I get something else worth hearing, I'll announce it again. Blessed is the man, Psalm 1, blessed is the man, him now, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And notice, there's a who there. Ungodly. Didn't say blessed is the man that doesn't walk in ungodly things. It's always the counsel of the ungodly. You got the who. Who in the world happened to you? Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now get it now. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now the devil, here's a fellow who's running, and he starts walking, and who? Well, what calls it? A who. Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Here it says, ye did run well. Ye did run well. Said, who? Who? Did hinder you. Ye did run well. Who? Now, hear me now. Here's a fellow running. How does he stop running and start walking? A who. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And brother, if you never want to stop running, don't you walk in the counsel of the ungodly. That means don't you hang around the wrong crowd. Don't you go down to some wicked psychiatrist or psychologist and let him tell you how you ought to behave. I mean, you just run with the right crowd. Now listen carefully. I know what they say. Well, I'll tell you what, those fundamental Christians, boy, they're a bunch of hard-headed folks, and they're a bunch of Pharisees. I want to say something about that. Every liability has a corresponding asset. And every asset has a corresponding liability. Now, hear this carefully. This is another thing worth hearing. I confess that Christian people, fundamental believers, have some weaknesses. Have to. You get beat up as much as we do, you'd get stubborn too. And have to. I confess it. A man who stands and says, I believe this is right. Now, that's a strength. But there, on the other side of strength, there is a weakness. Now, here's what I want you to hear. I would rather have the corresponding weakness to strength than to have the corresponding strength to weakness. Hear me. They talk about a Christian goes bad, they say, wow, that Christian went bad. Talk about a heathen person does good, they say, that fellow's unsaved, but he does good. What are they doing? They're saying that in spite of his Christianity, the Christian is inconsistent sometimes. But they're saying in spite of his not being a child of God, the unsaved man has some good. And I'd 10,000 times rather have the Christianity with its corresponding weaknesses than the heathen, wicked life with its corresponding strengths. Well, of course there's some good things about pussyfoot. You smile all the time. Hey, so wake that fella up right there. I want you to sit up and hear me. I've got something to preach to you. If you're going to take a nap, go home and go to bed, get you a pillow and get your pajamas on. I got something to say to you. That goes to you deacons too. Now listen to me. I get a little tired. Now I don't get a little tired, I get a heap tired. Of people saying, well, you know, fundamentalist. Listen. Sure, there's some good things about liberals. A fundamentalist can't be as nice as a liberal. I mean, you can't fight the devil and smile. You can't get up and say, I hate liquor. You can't do that. If you're not against anything, you can smile all the time. If you're not against anything, you can be as friendly and courteous and nice. But brother, you give me the hell-raising fella who has conviction, who has a little bit of a bad disposition sometimes because he hates the devil so much and hates sin so much. You give me that fella, and a little ear-ticks and back-scratching, penny-pinching, they're going to be in soft soap and pink tea, lemonade compromiser, who has a few good things because he hasn't got enough gumption to stand against the evil. Listen, brother, I'm a little tired of fundamentalists being joked about because we're a little hard-boiled. Bless God, that just happens to be the thing, comes along with all the good. I'll say it again, I'll take the corresponding weakness to strength instead of the corresponding strength to weakness. Now follow me again, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. No, notice now, he was running. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you? Here's a fellow running. He starts walking. Why? Counsel of the ungodly. Now follow me carefully. Nobody, hear me now, nobody stops running for God without the devil using a human instrument to stop him from running. Nobody does. See, you walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, don't leave me now. Number two, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now, what does that mean? That means that you're running for God, and if nobody hinders you, you won't quit running. But the devil uses a who to make you go from running to walking. Now even he uses a who to get you to go from walking to sitting, to standing. But when he gets you to sitting, it's no who anymore. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. There's a who. The counsel of the ungodly. Didn't say ungodliness, ungodly. Now, so he's got you from running, walking, to standing. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Notice, there's the who. Now, when he gets you to sitting, he doesn't have a who. He says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's a what? In case you don't know, a seat is a what? That's worth listening to, too. A seat is a what? Now, why? Because when the devil gets you sitting, he doesn't need human instruments anymore. He's got you where he wants you. So here's a man who's running. And the devil said, ungodly folks, go counsel with him. Go to his pastor's school of a heathen. Go out to Shuler's school, California. Go out there. Walk in the counsel of the ungodly. What do you do? You stop running because you got with somebody who wasn't running. Listen, brother, if a jogger just runs with joggers, you'll always jog. You joggers don't run with me because I'm just walking. At my age, you're doing good to walk. When I jog, I slow down for my walking.
Now listen to me. The devil says, I want you to quit running. Paul said, ye did run well. Who did hinder you? Now the who got you from running to walking. And then the who got you from walking to standing. And the who got you from standing to sitting. And when the devil gets you in the seat of the scorn, and that's where you always end up. You always end up critical. You always end up criticizing. You always end up with a bad spirit. You always end up saying it's not what it ought to be. You always end up shooting down the leaders. Always do. That's always the case. But when you get there, the devil doesn't use the who anymore. He's already got you sitting down. That's what he wants you to do. But he uses the who from walking, from running to walking, and the who from walking to standing, and the who from standing to sitting. And then he comes to the what? He's sitting to see the scornful. Who in the world happened to Jehoshaphat? Ahab. Jehoshaphat would never have ruined the kingdom. His son Jehoram would never have married a heathen woman, Athaliah, who would destroy the southern kingdom as Jezebel destroyed the northern kingdom. What in the world happened to Jehoshaphat? It was who in the world happened to Jehoshaphat? Who in the world happened to Samson? Delilah did. Wasn't a what, it was a who. Samson didn't see something he wanted, he saw somebody he wanted. It was a who. Who in the world happened to Eve? Satan did. Eve didn't walk out one day in the Garden of Eden and say, I want that fruit. She had nine others she could eat from which she could eat. She didn't care about that one. She fellowshiped with God every day. She wanted God to have one. And Eve did not eat the fruit until a who came. And who in the world happened to Eve? The devil happened to Eve. Who in the world happened to Balaam? Men from Moab who came and offered him doctor's degrees. Offered him fame, money, importance. Who in the world happened to David? Bathsheba. Who in the world happened to Peter? The devil's crowd did. Who in the world happened to Judas? The soldiers that gave him 30 pieces of silver for denying his Lord. Who in the world happened to Esau? Jacob did when he tempted him with the bowl of chili. And listen. Check the Bible. Don't turn to it, but let me just read you some verses of Scripture here that show you it's always a who. The great church in Thessalonica, for example, it was damaged. How? But the Jews, which believe not, move with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to people. And they found them not, they drew Jason out, and certain brethren. Now, who caused to tell them Thessalonica? What? What? No, what? It was a who. Always is. You stay away from the wrong who, and I guarantee you'll never take the wrong what. I guarantee you. You stay away from folks that drink, and I guarantee you'll never touch it. You stay away from folks that smoke, and I guarantee you, you'll never have a puff. You stay away from the crowd that takes dope, and I guarantee you, you'll never take dope. You stay away from the cursing crowd, and I guarantee you, you'll never curse. Why? Because the who, the what, is always brought by the who, and the what without the who is not very appealing. It's always that little writhing, reptilic, serpentine, wiggling female with too much of her body showing who walks and wiggles and says, I drink blats, blitz, blats, bluts. I drink. What does she drink? Can't think of a name of beer to save my life. Tab? Some of you sinners, help me. I need your help. Budweiser. Yeah. Remember that little teddy bear that used to advertise, what was it? What kind of it? Hams? Huh? That teddy bear? He'd come wobbling out there, drink some bit. You take the who, you take the what. The devil can't sell his what. He sells his who. And he makes you want to be like the who, and to be like the who, you've got to take the what he thinks. And by the way, you won't be like the who is who advertises when you take the who's what. You'll be like the real who that you don't know about and the devil doesn't put on his screen. Who in the world happened to you? You folks denied her gossipers, somebody happened to you. You disgruntled folks, somebody happened to you. You gripers, somebody happened to you. You gossipers, somebody happened to you. Who in the world happened to you? Somebody did. You didn't get that way on your own. You got that way because you're... And you may have thought that you could help the crowd, but as I said so often, you don't catch bad health. One hepatitis plus one non-hepatitis equal two hepatitis. One mononucleosis plus no one. One non-mononucleosis equal two mononucleosis. You got somebody that's got mono, you don't get somebody that's got, that hadn't got mono to kiss them to make them well. You don't catch good health. You catch bad health. It's always the who. Let me show you again. Paul wrote young Timothy. He said, Timothy, I want to warn you here. He said, for of this sort are they which peep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. He said, Timothy, he said, your trouble in your church is going to be the who, not the what. And over in Titus, it says, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, the Jews, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Christians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. Now, what caused the church in Titus, Titus pastor in Crete, what caused the church in Crete to go bad? Hey, what it was? It wasn't the what. It was the who. Always is. Who in the world happened to you? I'll give you another passage of Scripture over here. In Peter's day, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. Now, these followers, how did they start doing pernicious things? They followed pernicious people. Let me go over here and read what it says in Jude. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying our only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's why Jesus, why the Apostle Paul wrote, and as the Holy Spirit inspired him to reveal the eternal Word of God, and he said, hey, let me show you this. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelief. Is that what it says? No, unbelievers. Unbelief wouldn't last that long without the suave unbeliever. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Don't let that who happen to you. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? That's talking about unrighteous believers now. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? That's capitalized. That's a who. What part had he that believeth with an infidel? That's a who. And the entire big, great chapter or portion of Scripture on separation in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 has to do with don't run with unbelievers. Don't run with infidels. Don't run with the sons of Belial. Don't run with the wrong crowd. He does not say don't do wrong because he knows you won't do wrong unless you have wrongdoers. You cannot change them. You don't catch purity. You don't catch virginity. I'm thinking tonight of a couple in our church who swapped visits, and boy, this is terrible. Who swapped visits with a cult. A family went to a cult. And they said, you come to First Baptist Church and visit with us. And they said, okay, then would you come with us and visit our church? It was a cult. And they said, well, that's the least you can do. We're going to come to First Baptist. You come with us once. And they did. And that day they went, a who happened to them. They got in the wrong crowd. They joined that cult. They're wrecked. Their lives are wrecked and ruined now. Why? Because they did not watch out for the wrong who. Ye did run well. Galatians, you laid aside your holy seasons. You laid aside your holy garments. You laid aside your sacrifices. You laid aside your special days. You laid aside all the Old Testament ritual. You laid aside the tabernacle worship and the temple worship. And you came to the faith that is in Christ Jesus and the living God and the Holy Spirit lives in you. And ye did run well. Now he said, you quit running. Who? Who hindered you? Who hindered you? I'm thinking tonight of a young man, one of the finest young men in this church. Went to Howells Anderson College for a season. Lovely Christian. Two critics got a hold of him. Smiles off his face. Countenance is sullen. Critical. Why? Because who in the world happened to him? Who happened to him? Brother, sister, I don't care if they're criticizing Popeye's spinach. I'm not going to hang around. I'm just not going to hang around people that are always talking negative about something. I'm not going to do it. I only have one life to live, and I'm not going to sit around. And by the way, there are a lot of people that I think are doing wrong, but I'm not going to get around and talk about them. No way in the world. I've got one life, and I'm going to spend it that way. Why? Because before I know it, I'll be doing the what if I do the who. And so will you. Look at that portrait. Listen to me. I'm not trying to salvage this church tonight. This church is in good shape. I'm trying to salvage you. There's some who's right here in this room you shouldn't mess with. Right in this room tonight. There's some people you shouldn't associate with. I'm talking about these little teenagers sat back in the, and those five little heathens sat out in the hallway this morning and misbehaved. So folks that couldn't get here late and sat in the hallway couldn't hear what was going on in the services. And they sat out there and insulted people. This, I don't care if they're all football players, cheerleaders. I don't care what they are. They're the kind of who you shouldn't run with. And I guarantee you, four of them wouldn't have been out there had it not been for the original who. And the original who had a who before her or him. It's always who. Who in the world happened? I'm thinking of a school teacher. One of the finest school teachers I ever saw. Who let the wrong kind of a who hang around. And by the way, she let this wrong kind of a who hang around her because she was trying to help this wrong kind of a who. She felt like she needed encouragement. Brother, in one encouragement plus one discouragement equals two encouragement discouragements. You heard about the guy's going to jump off the bridge and kill his life, take his life. Fellow said, hey, what you going to do? I'm in it all. I'm tired of life. I'm in it all. Don't do it. Don't do it. You got something to live for. No, nothing to live for. Ah, don't do it. Don't do it. Give me 5 minutes to talk you out of it. They talked for 10 minutes and they both jumped off the bridge. It's always the case. I'm thinking of a preacher boy who went to a certain West Coast pastor school where he shouldn't have gone. He said he went because he wanted to find the good and leave the bad. He found the bad along with the good. Changed his name from Baptist. I want to make this statement. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Baptist. I don't say this much, but I'm a Baptist. And boy, I'll guarantee you what, they'll have snow where the booger man lives before I'll take that Baptist sign off this church out here. I'll guarantee you. I'm a Baptist. Now, I don't think Baptist's the only one's going to be in heaven. I just don't know who the others are yet. Make the best of that one if you like, you who's. We got some who's here taking notes right now on that one. Took the word Baptist off his church. Took the word pastor off his name. Bless God. I tell you what, I believe the highest and most noble office known to mankind is the office pastor. Brother, I'm honored to be a pastor. And yet this fine preacher boy grew up right here in this church as a junior and a junior higher and a high schooler. Went to a West Coast pastor school to get the good from the bad. And he got the wrong who. When he got the wrong who, he got the wrong what. He got the wrong what. He learned to follow
this is deep. Took the name Baptist off his church name, pastor off his name. Lost it. And then they start losing your standards. And I'll guarantee you, you keep hanging around that who. But see, that who became a who because he hung around a who. Hey, look at me. Let me show you something. Brother John, stand right up here. Brother Lively, stand right beside him. Now watch me carefully. I am a fundamentalist. He is not a fundamentalist. He is an evangelical. I hate that word. I like the word fundamentalist. Capital F, capital U, capital D, capital I, capital M, capital E, capital N, capital T. You're not laughing because you think I'm spelling it right. And that qualifies you to be a fundamentalist. Now follow me carefully. If I run with the next wrong who, now bear in mind this, the wrong who with whom I'm running, he's also running with a who. And brother, the evangelical who that corrupts the fundamentalist is not going to choose the fundamentalist for his companionship. He's going to choose the next step of deterioration. And he's looking over here to the next fella who is a neo-orthodox. And he's getting the good from him that he can find. And he, the next fellow, with Dr. Evans, get up there. He's getting his from a liberal. Now, that's why, my brother, look, when you leave your fundamental position and you start running with the wrong who, you become like him. Now, you are in the habit of going for the next who. And that's why that liberal churches are churches that were once fundamental churches. I mean, the devil never starts anything. You never heard a liberal preacher stand on a street corner on a soapbox saying, "Bless God, this Bible is not so." You never heard that in your life. The liberal steals what the fundamentalist starts. And the fundamentalist doesn't like the stigma of fundamentalism. So he decides he wants to get a little more suave. He takes the next step. When he takes the next step, he is one of the who. And then he takes the next step and the next step. And brother, once you start the wrong who crowd, you change your who crowd as the crowd changes you. Thank you, fellas. Brother, I'll guarantee you, in case anybody here wants to stand and face Jesus someday and hear him say, "Well done," then you just better run with the crowd that's doing well. I'll guarantee you, a modest little girl who starts running with a couple of short-wearing girls will be three short-wearing girls for long. And a non-movie-going young person that starts running with a young person, there'll be two movie-going young folks for long. I'm thinking of a pastor who lost his standards because he decided he'd have some preachers in and hear both sides. Listen, that's why at Hiles Anderson College will never have a speaker on its platform unless he's a capital F fundamentalist preacher. Never will. Well, don't you think, Brother Hiles, y'all be broad-minded and hear both sides? No, don't think so. No. No, don't think so. Don't think so. And I'll guarantee you, you start believing that old junk of having both sides. Brother, there's no way in this world that a fundamentalist can help but be impressed by a liberal. They're nice. I've met them. "Hello there, Jack." I always call you Jack. "Hello there, Jack. I've seen the great work that you're doing." Always intimidate you. I feel like I don't even know English. The way they dress, I feel so shoddy. And I say, I want to be like that. That's why I don't belong to the Ministerial Association. That's why I'm not going to belong. Because I've been there. Do you know what? I turned my radio on driving home the other night from church late. And I heard a fella preaching. I never heard a better preacher in my life. Man, what a winsome man. I said, I've got to know who this is. I may want to have him. Do you know what they said when he got through preaching? They said, you have been listening to the Norman Vincent Peale program. I already had him booked before I knew who he was. Years ago, we had a white elephant party on the staff. Gave white elephant gifts. And a member of the staff gave me a book of sermons. Man, I read those things. Well, I got 10 sermon ideas from those books. But they had taken the name off the fellow who wrote it. The name of the fellow who wrote it off the book. Why, man, I read those. I'd get one little paragraph, get an idea for a sermon. I had 10 sermons all outlined before I realized it was Harry Emerson Fosdick's book. One of the most notorious liberals ever lived. He's the guy that said, of course I don't believe in the virgin birth. I don't know of any intelligent man who does. You know why? I was running with the wrong who. With the wrong who. School's about to start. There's some who's in Hiles Anderson College you shouldn't mess with. There's some who's in Hammond Baptist High School you shouldn't mess with. Now, I know what to say. Well, I'll tell you one thing, boy. One thing about this wrong crowd you talk about, they dead sure won't turn on their friends. I know. They won't tell that their friends are taking dope. And because they won't tell their friends are taking dope, they hide behind the disguise of friendship and let their friends go ahead and take dope till someday they become a vegetable. Their life is wrecked and ruined. That's not friendship! Now, how can you get back to running? It's easy. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run. They shall run. Who shall run? Those that wait upon the Lord. Those that wait upon the Lord. You get back to running with Him. You take the same time you're spending gossiping. I'm sorry, for you, it's fellowshipping. Take the same time you spend fellowship. We'll have folks after this service. It'll become the wrong who tonight. I was preaching down in East Texas years ago. Had a little church out in the country. Had a little lady named Mrs. Morris. Never forget her. Had two lovely teenage girls. Sweet girls, turned out to make us all proud of them. Mrs. Morris worked at the Woolworth store, Five and Dime store downtown Marshall on the square. And one day, she was behind the counter and she's down counting merchandise. And she couldn't be seen. And a couple of ladies were there looking at her merchandise. And Mrs. Morris was invisible. She's hidden, wouldn't hide herself, but she's hidden because she's down taking care of stock. And one of these ladies said, have you heard about that Reverend Hiles out of Grangehall Baptist Church? I said, I've always been this way. She said, oh yes. Oh yes. He will take all the joy away from all of our young people. Did you hear how he got on the radio broadcast and exposed a church that had an all-night party for the young people where they necked and petted in the cars? Yes, I heard that. Mrs. Morris stayed down there for about 60 seconds. And then they didn't know anybody was near. And she jumped up and you could have heard her all the way to Houston. She said, shut up! Get out! Or shut up. He's my preacher. What she was saying this. You're going to be that kind of who, get out. Because I'll get that what if I run with that who. We had a fella, high school graduation several years ago. Came to high school graduation, pulled up and parked over here. Got out of his car. One of our attendants was out there and helped him. And the fella all of a sudden cursed me. And our parking attendant out there, before he knew it, he decked him. He decked him. Now, folks, that's wrong. You shouldn't do that. But if you just got to do wrong, that's one of the best wrongs to do. I had to take him to the hospital. Well, I know what you little pussyfooters are doing, sitting back behind the K-beams. I know what you're doing. Well, I'll tell you what. Just tired of those hackers out there at Hiles Anderson College, always hooping and hollering. You're hooping and hollering, too. They're hooping and hollering about Jesus, and you're hooping and hollering about Michael Jackson. And don't you sit there, and don't you sit there. You're not kidding us a bit. Don't you sit there stroking your piety. You haven't got enough to find. While you criticize other people because they're too strict. I just want to serve notice on you, brother. I'd rather be 10 times too strict than 1 time too lenient. Keep running. How do you keep running? Get along with God. They that wait upon the Lord. I'll guarantee you, if you're not running for Jesus tonight, you're not waiting upon God. It says they shall run. It doesn't say they may run. They could run. They might run. They sometimes run. It says you wait on God and you shall run. One good thing about keeping running, it keeps you warm. You quit running, you get cold. Something else about running too. If you run, you keep running, you can jump over the low spots. If you walk, you're going to have to go down in the valleys. I've jumped over many a gully running. All of that, you keep running, you keep looking up. You try looking right straight down and run. And you'll be smack dab in the back end of a car. Also, when you're running, you're too tired to talk too much. It's Olympic time. You know what they're doing in a 100-yard dash last night when Carl Lewis won a 100-yard dash? Those guys are running, straining every intestine they had. And they were looking over at each other and said, let me tell you something I heard. Boy, I got something you're going to like. No, they folks that do that not running. You haven't got time to talk like that when you're running. I know. No, you running. You don't have time to be critical. Who happened to you? There's some sweet Christians all over this nation, some of the sweetest Christians in the world, have become critics. I'm not trying to get you to not criticize, make me feel good. I feel good already. It's going to take more critics. We don't have many in this church. I'm not sure we have any. But if we did have a dozen or two, it's going to take more than them to take my joy away. I just want you to have joy. But every critic in this room tonight, if you're here, every critic in this room, I don't mean just critic of me. I don't think y'all be critical of anything goes on around here. I don't think y'all to sit in your home and criticize a high school. I don't think y'all to sit in your home and criticize a college. Because I don't agree with everything. Well, they don't agree. We don't agree with everything you do either. Dr. Evans and I get together once every week. Well, we just say, I know some things are good about the students' homes. Listen, your house is no better than our school. And the people that do it, who happened to them? You say, well, how do I know the right who? I just don't think you ought to hang around too many who's at all in him. I may never finish. I got so many things coming in my mind and nothing's going out. Maybe you noticed. But you know what ruined America? When all the who's got together. When old Zeke was out there following two mules and thinking about God, asking God for rain so the crop could grow. If he heard any juicy gossip, as nobody, the mules didn't want to hear it. Nobody would tell. If you're not with anybody, the mules can't talk. The mules didn't spread one bit of juice. And he didn't learn anything but the mules bad. We all came to town. And we got something more sinful than television sets. Telephone. Let me just park here a minute. With all my soul, I believe the telephones destroyed America more than the television. And more churches have been wrecked, and more Christians have been ruined, and more hearts have been broken, and more lives have been destroyed with the telephone than the television. And we got with the wrong who's. Somebody said, Brother House, aren't you sort of a loner? No, I'm not a loner. I just don't stay around any who long enough to start talking about other who's. If I hang around a who, we're jogging, running. You go soul winning. You hang around a who soul winners. Paul said, you did run well. You're doing real good. Who hath hindered you? He didn't say, is it a who or a what? He said, who. He knew it was a who. He said, who was it? Now, I'm not saying be unkind to the wrong who. I think you ought to be kind and gracious. But you shouldn't socialize and have intimate contact. Because as sure as you do, I don't care who you are. Listen, brother, if Jehoshaphat couldn't hang around the wrong who and stumble, and if the Apostle Peter, the Pope himself, could hang around the wrong who without stumbling. And if David couldn't hang around the wrong who without stumbling. And if Abraham couldn't hang around the wrong who without stumbling. And if Lot couldn't hang around the wrong who without stumbling. You're not going to hang around the wrong who and keep on running. You'll hang around the wrong who, and that who will make you come from a... hear me. I'm going to close with this. I'm going to close again with something else after a while. I'm going to close with this. The devil got you. He got you stopped. He got you to quit running and start walking by the who? The counsel of the ungodly. He got you to quit running, or quit walking, and to stand by standing in the way of sinners. And then he got you sitting with the wrong crowd. Now, as soon as you got to sitting, there's no who there. And there's no who there when you sit down. It's the seat of the. You know why? Because, brother, when a who gets you sitting down, he's through with you. He's going to try to find somebody else that's running. Look, when a gossip gets you to become a gossip, he doesn't mess with you much anymore. He's trying to find somebody else that hadn't heard the gossip. Because it's not near as much to tell somebody about gossip that knows about it. Did you hear? No! Let me tell you. But nobody says this. Did you hear? Yeah. Let me tell you again. Nobody does that. You want to find... I love funny stories. I heard one of the day, about this fellow. I won't tell you what nationality he was, but he wasn't Irish. He won a gold medal in the Olympics and had it bronzed. And I heard that the other day. And I've been looking for folks that never heard it. There's nothing any worse than to walk in the office, these guys over there. Hey, fella, Jim, what about... Yeah, we heard it. You know what I say? Let me tell it to you again. No. Now, these fellows work for me, so they always say they never heard it. But we like to tell stuff folks haven't heard. So what happens? The who gets you to quit running and gets you to walk in. He hangs around some more. Why? He hangs around and gets you quit walking and gets you standing. But he's not through with you yet. He hangs around some more. He gets you from standing to sitting. And then he's through with you. It's the seat of the scornful. Then it's the what. Now, I have no sad stories to close with. That's why I've been preaching and trying to think of one. I can't do it. Have no sad stories to close with. I have no super salesman invitation. I'm just standing here tonight and telling several thousand people that you better watch your crowd. And everybody that's ever quit running, they quit running because a who did hinder them. Young folks, this year in school, run with the squares instead of the fools. Run with the straight people. See, that straight crowd. Would you like to know what the opposite of straight is? Crooked. Anybody laughs at the straight crowd, you mark it down. He's crooked. Run with the straight crowd. College. High school. Junior high school. Grade school. You stay with the right bunch. And by the way, some of the finest kids and young people in this world go to this church. Every once in a while, some little person, Brother O'Clair, will come to some school, high school and say, there's nobody out there to run with. You got problems. You just don't know them. There are a lot of them out there. Some of the sweetest, purest little girls and young ladies you'll ever find in this world are sitting in this room tonight. And some of the finest, cleanest, most decent, masculine young men in this world are sitting in this room tonight. They're out there. You did run well. You did run well. Who did hinder you from obeying the truth? Father, salvage some lives tonight. Please. Our heads are bowed.